Well, we've got people proud of batteries today and not so proud of batteries. There is many things going on. I walked in the door and almost got, I would say, ambushed by fishing stories. So I said, wait a minute, we are going to do this where I have a record of my response. So anyway, Fish and Frank, and in the chair across from me, Vinny and Captain Greg with us today. So let's get rid of me and the guitar. And okay, go away, Frank. All right, there, Frank's gone away. Now, there's been many things happened in the last 14 hours, I think most of which I'm unaware of. So what was going on?
Go for it, Vinny. Come on, this was your story. All you gotta lay this one
here
out.
Here we go. So
the whole thing, with the new rod and everything.
Absolutely.
Yeah, from the beginning.
So you know, last night, Frank, I came in your office, had this new rod and reel in my hand. I was all happy with
a Lumis rod. I don't remember what reel it was, but I think it was some Abu on
there. It was an Abu Garcia.
Yeah,
and
beautiful new baitcaster, all brand new, still plastic on everything.
I was ready to go fishing.
And you'll be happy to know he still has that.
I didn't lose it. I didn't break it.
Oh, I was wondering, because I was figuring, okay, this is a massive story of broken rods here.
Oh, it could have been.
It could have been, but I got interrupted.
All right. So you left here, and you had your daughter with you.
Yeah.
And she's a really lovely girl. She's a really nice person. Yeah, she really is.
She got it all from her mother.
Is that where it was?
I don't know where I was.
So, anyway, I know you were here. You were with your daughter. You were planning a fishing trip. What happened from there?
Okay, so we got home and loaded up the boat. It was my daughter and my wife. And we were going to troll out the Rim Canal in PGI and fish along the mangroves and head out towards the Ponce Inlet. And we were just going to snook fish. And so we headed out. It was, I don't know, 7 o'clock. And fishing along. I'm using my new G Lumis all the way. My daughter is driving the boat real slow. Darlene's trolling lures behind the boat. And I'm pitching that G Lumis rod with a Spook Junior and throwing it up into the mangroves. And I was so happy because I could really cast this thing. I mean, boom, right under the mangroves. Doing great.
Okay.
Fishing was kind of slow. And then as we got further down the Rim Canal closer to Ponce, the snook turned on. And I was getting one snook after another in the boat. And, I mean, we're talking dozens of snook.
That's actually amazing.
And do you think he would tell his wife to switch over to a topwater? No.
No, she's...
Stay in the back.
Yeah, stay with that one. I don't want to take off anybody's fish but mine.
So we get to the inlet to Ponce, where the boat ramp is.
And don't worry, darling, we still like you.
and I love her. So.
Nice try.
So we're at the Ponce Inlet. It's about 8:05. It's getting dark.
I like how he goes about 8:05. Well, not about 8:05.
Well, he knows because we looked the time up on his phone.
Well, because, on my cell phone.
don't tell him what's on your cell phone.
Okay.
You looked the time up on your cell phone, so we know it's approximately 8:05 and 34 seconds.
Yes. And we're at a place where I'm expecting to get Snookzilla. And we're fishing along, and just everything's going great. And I look around there, you know, there's no one in the park. There's one guy sitting on one of the back boat docks fishing, but that was it. And all of a sudden, a car comes crashing through the park, straight into the boat ramp, into the canal.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
In our boat.
No, the guy comes around from the park, drives around, and drives down the boat ramp? Really?
Yes.
Big car, small car?
It looked like a small Toyota car.
Like a Camry, something along that line.
Camry-style car.
Something like somebody on drugs would drive.
Maybe.
Okay. I don't know. So we're right there. This boat comes crashing in right by the boat. We got a strong outgoing tide, real high tide. Tide's heading out strong. and the car hits and it's sinking. And all of a sudden the guy, like a, if you can imagine a salmon coming out of the water and landing on the bank.
Yeah.
Well, that's what he did. He came out of the window, passenger window of the car, and shoots out of the water and lands on the dock face first, passed out.
Feet. He was the only one in the car, right?
Only one in the car.
So...
Of course, you didn't know that.
I didn't know that
point.
At the time.
Right. So, okay.
So, Darlene and I and Sarah, his car is heading out the canal, right? You know, it
right
almost hit
canal.
My boat.
So I mean, he drives off the ramp and makes it all the way out into the canal, and then the car is floating out of the Ponce Channel
into the harbor.
Into the harbor.
Yeah. And
with the lights on.
With the lights on. And so Darlene's got a spotlight, and I pull the boat up. We're right next to his car as we're drifting out into the harbor.
Right.
And the car's sunk. It's maybe a foot of window still out of the water.
Right.
And we're shining the light in the car looking for people. And Darlene's yelling, anybody in there, anybody in there? And we're looking, and we didn't see anybody in the car, didn't see any car seats or anything, so we let the car go. And it headed out about two, three markers, and then ended up sinking at the sandbar. And so
there's new structure in the harbor.
Yeah, there's a new reef. I mean, that thing's going to be loaded with snapper if they'll leave it there. Yeah.
And so after that, we were headed back to the dock. We called 911. To let him know what happened.
Which is why he knew it was 8:05, because we looked up what time he called 911 last
night. At exactly 8:10. And
now, I'm still wondering where this new rod comes into play. You got this brand new rod and reel. There's got to be something else into this. So where's the rest of the story here?
Well, the rest of the story is the police show up. They have a diver with them and everything else. Vinny takes them out to the car so they can check the car to make sure there's no bodies or anything. And they're satisfied. He brings them back. They're talking one thing or another. And Vinny ends up talking to the police officer, and who tells him that they're going to charge him with driving under the influence of some kind of narcotic. He had not been drinking. He said something about he'd taken pain pills. All he remembers was he was fishing, and the next thing he knows, he's wet. We don't know where he was fishing at. I don't know if he was really high on some good stuff and thought he was fishing out of the car or what. But there's the story with that. And Vinny's response to the police officer is, well, you need to tell that guy he just ruined my snook fishing. But we've been going on about this all morning, about all the different scenarios that he could have done and really made this great, you know. I mean, here's a car floating down the Ponce Inlet with the lights on, and even Vinny says,
Underwater fish lights.
Dude, were you fishing?
I mean, you didn't go out and take advantage of the lights in the water, the headlights shining there? Were the headlights pointed into the canal or away from the canal?
Well, the car was underwater, pointing towards the canal.
Oh, see, it was perfect.
It was perfect. And
absolutely.
You know, had we known any better, we'd have gone out there and tied up to the... what
tied up to the aerial, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, just put a line off the aerial. The aerial would have held.
Well,
yeah.
Carl had the best idea. He should have gotten out and stood on the roof and fished over the hood.
Yeah, but then you had to get your feet wet. It was underwater and all, right?
It was underwater. The only thing, the top of the car was the only thing visible.
Oh, well, if they leave it there, we got a new fish dock. Can you imagine? What is the thought process that goes around? I'm going to drive to Ponce. I can't believe he made it, because that takes a lot of... I mean, he really had to hit the water hard, because to go down the ramp and then get it out into the channel where the current can take it out.
Yeah, you would have thought it would have just pushed it back into the ramp.
Yeah.
No, it went into the canal and headed out to sea. But on the fishing front, the fishing was phenomenal. I mean, it was probably the best snook fishing I've ever had. I mean, it was one after another going after that spook and just watching them chase it. It was good. It was great.
That's amazing. Now, most of them underneath the dock. Did you do better under the man-made structure, like the docks and stuff, or did you do better in the mangroves?
In the mangroves. Every fish we caught was up, cast right under the mangroves, and they were you could see them come out of the mangroves and chase it down.
That's pretty cool.
It was fun.
So
the G. Loomis and the Abu was the Bone SL, wasn't it?
That Bone.
The Bone SL.
Bone SL. Yep. Okay.
My
Spook
favorite.
Jr., Bone yep. SL. Were you working it slow or were you really kind of twitching it hard?
I was twitching it, stop, twitch it, stop, twitch it, stop.
So, yeah, that start and stop is kind of deadly. I don't know what it is about that topwater, but snook really like it when it starts and stop. Redfish, kind of slow, continuous, but the snook, boy, you get that thing, pop, 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 and then stop, pop, 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 stop.
And they'd hit it, and if they didn't get a mouthful of it, you know, they'd come right back to it and hit it again.
That's cool.
It was great. And I mean, it was funny how it turned on. It was slow until we got up near ponds, and then maybe it was the time.
Well, they're down near where the flow is better.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's getting that time of year. The water's warming up. They're going to start pushing down out of the canal.
It was chilly this morning,
though. Yeah, I almost put a shirt on this morning when I came out.
Yeah, it would have been nice. You know, bare-chested Greg is not what we want to see.
Well, you know what I mean, a warm shirt. I actually wimped out, turned the air off, and put the defrosters on and slid the temperature gauge up halfway.
Oh, I can tell you. I went out last night, sit on the porch, having a drink and gonna little decaf coffee, and I mean, I went back in and got a jacket.
Okay.
And this morning, I think it was out about 6:30, quarter to 7, and it was blunt chilly. I mean, it was, opened the door, went, nope, jacket. Went back in, grabbed some warm clothes,
well,
and went
I know
back out.
Greg and I got in this morning. Yep. I had the doors open, and I thought, maybe I need to close these things.
Well, when I walked out of the house this morning at 20 to 5, I was like, ooh, geez, maybe I ought to grab a shirt. I thought, well, I'll be in the truck. It'll be fine. But I actually turned the heat up a little bit on the truck.
Yeah, it was chilly. It's going to be nice the next few days.
Yeah.
And then by the end of the week, it's supposed to be 70s overnight, which is going to mean probably more humidity again, more, you know.
We'll be back up sauna weather.
Yeah. I'm thinking that this week should be some really good fishing. These nice cool nights keep things chilled off again, kind of liven everything up.
Well, the only problem, like Jeff and I were discussing earlier, with all that rain we had yesterday, which was amounted to a couple of inches, what bait had conceivably moved up there on the east wall probably pushed off.
I don't know. I don't think the water temp's going to drop that much. We're only going to get a couple degrees out of this. Surface temps might go.
Yeah, I'm not so much about the temperature as the amount of fresh water that came in with it.
We did get a lot of rain, but I don't know how much they got up towards Arcadia. I can check.
It rained pretty good up at the house yesterday.
Let me see what the water flow on the Peace River is.
I know around here we got close to 2.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, right there along the east wall, you've got all that coming off of Pirate Harbor and PGI and Burnstore. There's a lot of water flows out right there. Now, that'll be short-lived.
Very short-lived, but all right. I'm on fishandfranks.com, and I'm going down to the Peace River flow chart. Well, we got a pretty good spike because it was at 1.4 feet in Arcadia, and it's now almost 3.5 and still rising.
Yep.
So that's
that
dumped a bunch of water to go from 1.5 to almost 3.5. The Peace River jumped 2 feet.
Yeah,
and that's a lot. So, yeah, we came up from 1.5 to on the second. The third, it started to drop, but now today, it's up to almost 3.5 feet. So
that's rain we got yesterday.
That's a lot of water coming down the Peace River. So yeah, the harbor's gonna be a little murky for a while. You don't have to pay for fluorocarbon for a little while. You can go back to mono. You're not gonna have to spend the money on fluorocarbon this week.
Go back to mono.
Yeah. So anyway, other than that, fishing's been pretty good.
Been great.
Anybody hearing any fishing stories? Who's going where? What's going on?
Everybody's just slaying the cobia down here at the bridges.
Yeah. The bridge is becoming like the place.
Yep.
And
well, the troll that comes in every Sunday morning,
right.
he was complaining this morning. It was 50 some people on the bridge yesterday while he was trying to fish. And he did relay that there was one guy down there that took more than his fair share of cobia. And he did call FWC, and FWC came down to talk, but the guys had left at that point.
Right.
But they told him that they'd be down there watching, so, and that's a good thing. Yeah.
Darlene and I were outside of Pirate Harbor, 3 days ago,
mm-hmm.
and we could just one cobia after another. She was getting broke off on using just free line and shrimp, and she was getting broke off left and right on cobia.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen a year like this for, God, since the 80s, where we've had so many cobia come in. And it's weird because we've got the tiger sharks, the mako sharks, the sandbars,
and the great white down the
great whites. And add those sharks, and we've heard sailfish stories, mahi mahi, tuna in here consistent for months. So many of these major predators come to the West Coast. I don't know what's, and so close to shore. I don't really understand what's going on out there.
That same day, we got a pretty decent hammerhead.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of hammerheads in the harbor. Yeah. The scalloped hammerheads and the other ones, but the real hammerheads, not the bonnets. And I'm not sure what's going on with so many, apex predator groups coming in with the pelagics. We had king mackerel in the harbor here for a while. Everything's kind of
And what's strange about that is we're getting the bigger predators, but where are the bait?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Frank, what's the expectation on tarpon in the canals? Right now, there's a ton of tarpon in the canals.
Okay. What do you mean?
Back deep in the canals, like out near Burnt Store.
Right.
And in PGI, there's a lot of tarpon.
Yeah, absolutely, a lot of tarpon.
Are they going to be sticking around in there, or are they going to be moving out soon?
Well, the tarpon stay in the canals all year. This is where they grow up. And only when they reach that 4-foot size or so where they're able to, strong enough, fast enough to get away from top-end predators like sharks, and they can keep up to the schools that, because the schools that leave here, they scatter to the winds. I mean, Louisiana, Texas, Mexico, the Keys, Costa Rica, they're everywhere. Once these tarpon leave here, they broadcast to the winds. And you got to be a good-sized fish to do that. You can't be a 3-footer. They're going to stay here until they're at least 4 feet, maybe even a little better. So all these fish in the canals, that's their actual homes. And what's happened over the years is they used to live in the creeks and the marshes and stuff, but most of them are eroded in. They don't have the depth to, give them safe sanctuary anymore. So they've left the creeks and they've gone to the one thing that remains constant, and that's man-made canals. Man-made canals are the creeks now. That's where the fish are learning to live, grow up, and so, no, those fish will stay there. Now, once the big schools come in, it seems like they kind of do a meet and greet where they go out and do that, and then all of the ones that are appropriate size are going to leave. What's weird about tarpon is you have these schools of, 1.5 feet, 2 foot, 3 foot tarpon, and there's always a 150-pounder or 200-pounder with them. I mean, I don't know if it's just a lazy one that doesn't want to travel and just says, well, hell, I'll hang out with the kids or,
more fun.
I'm babysitting.
Yeah, it's the babysitter or if it's just, I don't know what those big fish are, but I don't believe I've ever gone in and where I see all these, hundreds of small tarpon and not seeing one, two, half a dozen big ones with them.
Yeah.
And like I say, it could be a lazy fish, could be a babysitter, could be all kinds of stuff. Maybe it's just there, that one decides, okay, I'm going to hang around and I'll teach the little ones to come out by the big school or whatever. I mean, that's stretching it a little far, but, I just have no idea why that. But no, those are resident. They live here until they get big enough and then they go. But those places continuously hold tarpon, I would say 10 months out of the year.
Yeah.
Well, and we do get some very big tarpon up the river.
Oh, yeah.
And all year long.
Yeah. And I've actually begun to think more and more the bigger tarpon are actually hanging out more year-round. And I don't know why that is, but I've seen more bigger tarpon over the last few years hanging back, staying here. And it could be like our generation of kids coming up. I mean, they're all the CEO of the company. They're all the, the boss, and they get to show up and people throw money at them, just because they were, granted us with their presence. And it could be maybe tarpon, there could be more lazy tarpon. They just don't want to go.
Well, and what it could be, too, is, something along that line. But they could be fish that spawned here, grew up here, and just decided, hey, I'm staying home. I'm not leaving.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
You know?
Exactly what I'm saying. I mean,
yeah,
I don't, I, I've got to invent this brain scan thing that will allow me to, you know, think tarpon, you know. We go out, we catch tarpon, we put this over his head and go, what are you thinking? You know? I can get it that he's talking to me. I just can't tell what he's saying yet, but I will. I'm doing the mind meld.
There you go.
I've been practicing with Dr. Spock, you know. But no, it really, those 10 months out of the year, those fish usually hang into there. But you got the 2 months, May, June, where they all kind of blend together, and it seems to go on. Now, when they're too small, they're too much like food. The little ones, the, you know, the tiny up to about, it, they don't seem to have any big ones around until they get 2 foot, you know, about 2 feet in length, because before that, I think the big ones just eat them. Yeah. But once they get up around 2 feet, then there's usually a big one around.
That was a couple years ago there when we were working on Dwayne's trailer. I was catching those hand size tarpon in the canal in back of his house, and there was no big ones with them. You know? And if there had been, they probably would have been food, you know, because they were literally the hand size of my hand.
But most fish, one of their favorite food is smaller their own species. You know, the babies their own species. They know more than we do. They eat their young. You know, they don't have to live to put up with them as teenagers. You get out of line, you're just lunch. You know?
So, you know, if you're lucky, you'll make it till dinner time.
Yes. All right. Anything else? But we had cobia, Vinny, you and your wife catching down by.
Lots of cobia, lots of shark.
Oh, off the sandbar down by Pirate Harbor. The 41 Bridge with lots of cobia. It seems like the cobia day, cobia stories.
It's the cobia. I mean, there's redfish out there right now, but they're scattered. You know, I mean, they're not schooled up yet.
Yeah. So.
Mackerel's still all over.
Yeah. A lot of mackerel still all over.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, I guess we're going to kind of wrap up this radio fishing and get back out and actually try and make some money so I can pay for these radio shows. But this is Fish and Frank and Vinny and Captain Greg, and thank you guys for listening. We'll see you on the next radio fishing. Bye-bye.